Our first reading is this famous exchange between Abraham and God about the subject of the fate of the city of Sodom, where all kinds of horrible sinfulness is going on. And this reading is, you know, seen as a testimony to God's exceptional mercy for us and for sinfulness. As we know, however, the city of Sodom was leveled to the ground and forgotten about. They actually, in recent years, they've excavated some of the ruins of what we think was Sodom, and it was pretty obvious there was something really dramatic that happened there. There probably was some sort of volcanic event that destroyed the city, which tends to correspond with the biblical accounts of it. However, the story of this particular story of being merciful to Sodom, if there were but 10 just people there, it's also a symbolic reference to us, we as individuals. Each of us has within ourselves goodness and also things which are not so good, things that do not belong there, the seeds of sinfulness. And the Lord does not make friends with our sinfulness, but he, however, never abandons that in us which is good. Everything that the Lord wishes to do in us, he wishes to do for our good, and he wishes to purify us. He wishes to purify us. And if that means destroying that in us which is sinful, then so be it. However, I think many times we are afraid to approach the Lord in prayer. Our gospel reading today speaks very, very eloquently about prayer, but and has many truths in it about prayer. But we are afraid oftentimes to go to prayer, I think, because we're afraid that the Lord is in the prayer and in communing with him, that he's going to take away that which is us. Our first reading assures us that it is not the good things in us that make us that he wants to take away. He will do no harm to those things, but he will rather destroy that which is evil in us if we ask him. If we don't cry out to God to purify us and make us more like himself, then he will, I think, sometimes allow some measure of that evil to be within us, which causes us conflict and pain. And so we need to come to him in prayer, which again, coming now to our gospel, Jesus speaks about at length today. He gives, in this Lucan account from the Gospel of Luke, we have the Luke's version of the Our Father, which is kind of cut down. It's very concise version of the Our Father that we say at every Mass and in the Rosary and such. It is the perfect prayer, not just because the Lord gave it to us, but because there is so much in it about the essence of prayer. And then he goes on with these little stories afterward to explain how we are to come to prayer. First of all, the first two words of the Our Father are some of the most revolutionary religious words. They are the most revolutionary religious words, I think, in all of human history. Most people looked at their gods, and most other religions look at their gods as some sort of distant, uninterested sort of puppet master, so to speak. That is not who our God is. And Jesus reveals that to us by these first two words of this prayer. Our Father. Our Father. It's a big, big difference from, O all-powerful God. And he is that. And when you go on through the prayer, that's emphasized too. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Above all things are you. Greater than all things are you. So we testify to the greatness of God when we pray this prayer and his all-powerfulness and our need for humility in front of him, because he is all-powerful and he is this almighty God, and yet he is our Father. He looks at all of us as sons and daughters with that kind of affection, with that sort of involvement in our lives, and that sort of desire to be involved in our minds and hearts. He desires that. This is all said in those first opening words of the prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I think oftentimes we get confused as to what prayer is. Either we think it's unnecessary because God already knows what we need and want. Okay, he still wants us to ask. Or we think that it's our opportunity to give to him this laundry list of things that we need, or a grocery list, so that he can go to IGA later and pick it up for us. It's not the way it works. We don't change God's mind. Rather, in prayer, we should seek that he would change us, that he would purify us of the things that don't belong, so that we can be more ourselves than we ever have been before. So we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We seek to have our wills united to his. Folks, imagine for me, if you will, what it would be like if every one of us who had our butts planted in a pew in a Catholic church throughout the world were to, today, have all of our wills united with his. What would that be like? What would that look like? I can see it as being an army. An army that would quickly overtake the world. Not to conquer it and subject it, but to draw it into the heart of God. If all of us could have all of our wills united to his, it would be this. I think Christ would come in short order, because the work would be done, and very quickly. If all of us are united with him, that means that all of us are united together perfectly, without self-interest, without strife, internal strife or external strife, without war, without dissension. That sounds like heaven, doesn't it? And that's exactly what heaven is. Everyone there has their will perfectly united to God, because all that which is at variance with him is destroyed and cast out. And that's good news. We are all called to work for that kingdom here on earth. But the kingdom doesn't start out there. The kingdom starts in here with us, in our hearts, uniting it to God. So when we pray this prayer, we ask that that happen, especially in our hearts. Give us this day our daily bread. And the word for daily is not really, it's what we need every day. We ask God for our needs every day, but there's a different sense to that word as well. It means like super abundant, above anything else. In other words, we are asking for that which will feed us completely to the depth of our soul. There's nothing in this world that can do that. No thing, no person can do that for us. Only the Lord can fulfill that need in us. So we ask for that. We ask for the grace of God. We ask for his deep love to the bottom of our hearts. And we ask for the desire to love him more deeply. That will give us what is truly our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Pretty straightforward, pretty hard to do, yet necessary, because the forgiving heart is the one that understands forgiveness well. And in some translations say, subject us not to the final test, but deliver us from the evil one. Folks, I think it's pretty important to realize and understand very deeply that there is certainly one who wants to keep us from the Lord. And if you've ever noticed that in the times that you've wanted to pray or wanted to do things for the Lord or do his will, that you find yourself dragged away and distracted or whatever, or discouraged in some way, it's no accident. It's no accident. There's one who loves to run interference, and he has defined his existence by trying to keep us from the Lord God. We should not listen to him. And those who want to pretend that he isn't real, they're either delusional or they're stupid. Because he's real. Look around. He's real. And he very much wants to keep us from the Lord. So we need to, there are things, though, that the Lord tells us can help us in that. This first little example here of the friend asking a neighbor for bread, knocking on the door. What Jesus is saying to us is, do not give up. Do not give up on that which you need. Do not give up speaking to me. Do not give up asking for that which you need. Because if you give up, you certainly are never going to get what you need. He's encouraging us in that. And this other little illustration that he uses. What father among you would give to his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or a scorpion when he asks for an egg? We should have confidence that the Lord does want to give us good things, the best things. But I would take this example and I would turn it around a little bit just to explain something. Very often we ask for what we think is an egg or a fish, absolutely confident it's the thing that we need and the thing that we want. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows that it's a scorpion or a snake. He will not give us those things. So when we ask for something that, at least at that time, or maybe always, is not for our good and not for our salvation, he absolutely will not give it to us. Period. So he encourages us to ask. Ask for all things that we need, particularly the things that we need to get to salvation. Those he will give to us. The things that bring us to salvation. The things that bring us to eternal life and others to eternal life. He will give those. And he will give a lot of other things too that don't harm us or lead us away from him. But those things which will, he will not give. And we should, even though it might frustrate us in the moment, we should thank him nevertheless, because he wishes to keep us on the path and he wants to have us with him forever. Jesus tells us many things about prayer today. When we pray the Our Father together today, when you pray the Our Father anytime, ever, yes, I know it's something we've memorized. I know it's something that we could say in our sleep. Let's not be asleep when we say it. Let's consider some of those things that I've talked about, that the Lord is closer to us than we could ever imagine, that he's powerful enough to give us what we need, always. And he is, and it's in his will that the world finds salvation, it finds belonging, finds union, finds joy. It's in his will that we find those things. And it's by coming to him that we're protected from the wiles of the evil one, and that through our persistence, through our work in prayer, through our desire to know God and to possess him, we can indeed do that. So let's present ourselves as we continue this greatest prayer of the church, the Mass. Let's present ourselves to the Lord, knowing that he wants us and that he wants the best for us, and thanking him for all the things that he has given to us and all the things that he has protected us from.